You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
To our pastor, Pastor Twyman, to my brothers in the ministry, to the officers of this great church, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to be here. Amen. Pastor Twyman, I cannot ever share with you in words how much you have been a blessing to my life. I thank you because it's not every day that a pastor would take in a preacher. Amen. It's definitely not something that I take for granted, but I am in awe of your kindness, of your willingness to share with me. You know, Macedonia, you and actually we are a blessed church. Yeah, 38 years of faithfulness from this man of God. And I just want to take a moment to, as Pastor Twyman acknowledged my father in the ministry, Pastor Walker. It's not every day that God would allow this to happen. And it's so significant and special to me to see Pastor Walker. Pastor Twyman, he shared with me some time ago, he said, "Son, when you preach, let me know." And he wanted to come and be here. To my mom, Sister Walker, God bless you. It's so good to see you. Amen. Macedonia, thank you so much for welcoming me and my wife. Such a warm and wonderful church. And we thank God for you. Not to hold your patience, but there is a word in the 27th number of Psalms. We just want to highlight verses 13 and 14. The 27th number of Psalms. Psalm of David, verses 13 and 14. If you have it, you should see these words. "I would have fainted, or I would have lost heart, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." For a few moments, I want us to consider this thought: God's waiting room. God's waiting room. All of us at one time or another have spent some time in a waiting room. In fact, there are different types of waiting rooms that exist. There are surgical waiting rooms. There are labor and delivery waiting rooms. There are outpatient living waiting rooms. There are waiting rooms at the airport, the dentist's office, in schools. Indeed, there are different and a high number of areas that are designed for you and I to wait. In fact, we can really, when we really think about it, a lot of our lives are lived in waiting. Either we are waiting on someone or we are waiting on something. All of us have experienced times where we are waiting. But out of all the waiting rooms that exist, there's one waiting room that we as Christians can find ourselves spending some time in. In fact, we can spend some considerable amount of time. And it's a waiting room, Pastor, where we have no control. There are no magazines. There are no kid toys. There are no books. There is no TVs with infomercials. There are no brochures on various medicine and different procedures. In this waiting room, we can find ourselves isolated and alone. Yeah. It's a waiting room where the patient has to be patient. Yeah. The anatomy of this waiting room could be complex, and it can even be complicated. Although through design there are where form meets function, there's a certain amount of tension that exists in this waiting room. Even if this waiting room is crowded with different types of people who are there for different reasons, in this waiting room, you will find yourself that you will have to sit still and not move. Yeah. There are different types of people in this waiting room. There are people who can sit and be quiet. There are those who are talkative. There are those who pace the floor frantically. There are those that have worry and anxiety on their face. Trust me when I tell you, God has a waiting room. Yeah. What I learned, Pastor, is that this waiting room is not designed to make us comfortable, but indeed it's designed to help us expose our character. Yeah, there are many different reasons why we end up in this waiting room, but when we are in God's waiting room, there are two things that we consider. One, how long we're going to be there. And two, what is going to be the outcome? Do I have a witness in here? When we find ourselves in this waiting room, we are in need of receiving a word from somebody. Whether it's a doctor or a nurse, we are looking to receive a word that will encourage us in the moment. We need a word to know that everything is going to be all right. Do I have a witness in here? The same is true for you and I today, that if you're sitting here this morning and you find yourself in God's waiting room, you're in need of a word from on high about your situation. You need to know when, Lord. When will you deliver me out of my circumstance? When will you deliver me out of this situation? When will you send an answer that can meet my needs? Yeah, the walls are closing in. And Lord, I need you to make a way out of no way. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? In God's waiting room, we can find ourselves waiting. Not knowing what's going to happen. Yeah, and if we're all honest about it, we need God to see about us. You've been applying for job after job. You know that your money is getting low. Your situation is getting tighter and tighter, and you wonder to yourself, where is God in the midst of all of this today? If you're sitting here today and you find yourself in God's waiting room, we have some good news for you this morning. In our text, there are three distinct principles that we can readily adopt and apply immediately to make and maximize our time as we wait on God in his waiting room. We all know David is the composer of this 27th number of Psalms. David can be credited with writing well over 70 some odd Psalms in the book of Psalms. You know David, don't you? David was that shepherd boy that became God's anointed king. Do I have a witness in here? David was the one who was being hotly pursued by Saul, where he had to hide out in caves. David was the one who was acting crazy in front of that king in order to stay alive. You know David, don't you? David is the one who looked out over the balcony and saw that sister taking a bath. You know who David is, don't you? David is the one whose son wanted to overtake him in Israel. David is the one whose son had died. David is the one whose life has been filled with adversity, whose life has been filled with tragedy after tragedy. David is the one who pens this psalm. And in this psalm, David gives a vivid affirmation where he conveys with all confidence in God. He conveys his confidence in God. Pastor, he starts out in the 27th number of Psalms by saying that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? A lot of times when David penned a psalm, he was always in the midst of some danger. There was always some adversity. There was always some chaos. There was always some drama. And yet in the midst of all of that, David affirms his confidence in God. Do I have a witness in here? You see, to affirm something literally means to validate it. It means to give validation. It means to validate your experience and what's taking place. David boldly states that God is. We could put a pin right there. That his faith and his trust is in God. In fact, you know, if you think about it, the writer of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, reminds us that, listen, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Yeah, yeah. He could be bread when you're hungry. He could be water when you're thirsty. He could be a bridge over troubled water. God is whatever you need him to be. Do I have a witness in here? David affirms who and what God is in his life. He says that the Lord is my light. That means that God illuminates, that he's able to shed light in places that are dark. Do I have a witness in here? He says that the Lord is my salvation. In other words, my deliverance. That he has some experiences knowing that God was able to deliver him out of various situations. David continues in this psalm, in this 27th number of psalm, where he affirms who God is in his life. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We need to have that same type of life. As Christians, we ought to be able to affirm who God is. We ought to be able to stand boldly on what we know to be true about the true and living God. Do I have a witness? Yeah, but there's a truth that we can grab hold of too this morning, especially when we are in God's waiting room. You know, when we are in God's waiting room, there are circumstances and situations that will occur in this life that will challenge everything that we think we know. Yeah, so if you find yourself in God's waiting room, the first thing that I want you to know is that when we are in God's waiting room, it gives us the opportunity to reflect on our past experiences with God. David says in verse 13 that I would have lost heart, or in the King James Version, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed. We find that David is in a moment of reflection where he thinks about all his various experiences with God. David is in the present, reflecting on his past in order to gain hope for his future. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah, yeah, I know that right now you may be in the midst of thinking about throwing in the towel. I know that the walls are closing in and it's getting harder and harder to live this life. But trust me, take a moment to sit down and think about what the Lord has done for you. David reflects on what God has done in his life. In fact, in the 124th number of Psalms, he said, listen, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side. Yeah. If it had not been for the Lord. When you think about where the Lord has brought you from, it's a reason to shout right now. Don't you know that he's brought us from a mighty long way? Do I have a witness in here? Yes, we will be in the waiting room. But it's all right. Because we can reflect on our experiences with him. David says that I would have lost heart. I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have taken my Bible and gone on home. I would have just stopped. Unless. I love that word, unless. That means that it literally means that there's a new transition of thought. That unless I had believed. You know, it's interesting that when we're in God's waiting room, and this will lead us to our second point, that not only do we reflect on our experiences with God, but we also need to know that believing can change our perspective. Believing can change our perspective. David again says that I would have lost heart, I would have fainted, I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do I have a witness in here? You see, the word believe in our text means to build up support. It literally means to foster as a parent or nurse. You know, believing is an action word. It is a verb. It is something that we have to do. It's a choice that we make, that no matter what circumstance that we face, we have to believe. I wouldn't want to live this life unless I was able to believe. I was able to believe that God is going to do something in my situation. Do I have a witness in here? So not only should we reflect on our experiences with God, and not only should we know that believing can change our perspective, it could change our mental outlook on what's taking place in our lives. But lastly, We can know without a shadow of a doubt that our position impacts our condition. Our position has an impact on our condition. Look at the 14th verse. David says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Pastor, it was so good he had to say it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, as we get ready to close here, you know, waiting on the Lord does not mean that we rest on our laurels. It doesn't mean that it's a form of laziness and that we just sit down and do nothing. Waiting on the Lord is actually action in motion. Waiting on the Lord, especially waiting in God's waiting room, speaks to our position. It's a position of anticipating that God is going to make a way out of no way. Do I have a witness in here? That's why Isaiah carries on the thought in Isaiah 40 and 31 that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary or not faint. Waiting on God does not imply that we're apathetic. Waiting on the Lord does not mean that we abandon all action. Waiting on the Lord just simply means that we anticipate that God is going to visit us and do something about our situation. Be of good courage. Speaks to our condition. While we are waiting in the waiting room of God, we must hold fast to the confession of our faith. And guess what? He promises that he will strengthen our hearts. Yeah, when you're in God's waiting room, in order for you and I to see the great physician, there are some specific requirements that have to be met. One of those requirements is recorded in Romans 10 and 9, that if we confess with our mouth, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. While you in God's waiting room, typically when you get to a waiting room, there is a registration process in which you have to show identification. But not only do you need to show some ID, you also need to show some insurance. Do I have a witness in here? In God's waiting room, he don't accept Blue Cross and Blue Shield. He don't accept HAP. He don't accept United Healthcare. But he does accept Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased from God. Born of his spirit. Blessed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. And the reason that I have a story and the reason that I can have a song is because through 42 generations, Jesus came down, healed the sick, provided sight for the blind, raised the dead. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They couldn't find no fault with him. They led him by an old rugged cross. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. And for my sins and your sins, did he die? Jesus died on that cross. Buried in another man's tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He declared that all the power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Wait on in God's waiting room. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything will be all right.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.